Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, and it's April the 9th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and we are in the Big Book, and we'll be reading in Bill's story on page 12, the sixth paragraph down, bottom of the page. It begins with the real significance of my experience, reading through one paragraph, ending with how blind I had been, the top of page 13, and the comments are on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps, J&L, the 12 traditions, Diana R., and the readers of the text are Liz A., Shelley E., and Nadia E. The share ID for Monday, April the 8th, the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting, is 21,293. That's 21293. And for Tuesday, April the 9th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,295. That's 21295. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida, and these are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, through prayer and meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholic compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Jan L. And I will now ask Diana R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but as service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and my name's Diana R., food addict in Arizona. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Diane R., for reading our 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 12, the sixth paragraph down at the bottom, and it begins with the real significance of my experience, and it ends at the top of 13, how blind I had been. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Liz A. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Am I being heard?
Yes, loud and clear.
Great. Good morning, everyone. My name is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since. How blind I had been. Good morning again, everyone, and thank you all for your service today. Wow. Okay, first I had to go back and remember what it was that Bill experienced in the cathedral. And apparently he had at that point, when he, walked in, felt much moved. Okay, and he felt God's presence. But it was, and he had that ominous warning, okay? But then after that, it says he blotted out, it was blotted out by worldly clamors. I've had the keywords for me are humble willingness. I've had that several times. In 1987, when I first joined the beverage program, I had a spiritual experience, not awakening experience, and it was amazing. And I thought that that would keep me on cloud nine for the rest of my life. And, you know, of course it didn't. I had another spiritual awakening and had that humble willingness when I stopped throwing up, which I'd been doing, and that was in 1988. But ever since then, I did not have any sense of humble willingness until this last time when I had my last binge. It's a lot of work to maintain that humble willingness. It takes consistent effort to maintain a conscious contact with God. You know, like Bill clamors, blotted out any sort of willingness. I looked up the word clamors, and it means loud and confused voices. Boy, does that hit the nail on the head. All that negative self-talk, the stinking thinking, the thoughts going on, the voices going on in my head. And I'm not talking, you know, crazy, but I'm talking negativity and selfishness. So I have to keep working steps 10, 11, and 12. I have to keep being honest with myself and others, praying, meditating, most importantly, being of service, working with others to keep a sense of His presence with me.
Time.
And with that, perfect timing, I will pass. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Liz A., for getting us started, delving into the paragraph. And the paragraph we're studying from is on page 12, the sixth paragraph down, the real significance of my experience. And it ends at the top of 13 with how blind I had been. And we're just going to be studying that one paragraph only. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bruce Wendy B.
I got Bruce E. and Wendy
B.
B. Thank you, Wendy. Bruce
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. in Costa Rica. Anyone else? Jump in. Nobody else wants to get on? Let's go with those three. We've got Bruce
Ginger
B., Wendy
people.
B. Ginger. Ginger, what was your last initial, Ginger?
M.
M. Okay. Gotcha, Ginger. Okay, we'll go with those four, Bruce E., Wendy B., Robin P., and Ginger M. All right, Bruce, you're up first, followed by Wendy. Good morning, Bruce.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody on the line. And let's see. If you hear me okay, don't say anything. If you don't hear me, you don't have to say anything. All right. So anyway, I love this paragraph. I am so happy to get to share on this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is so neat. For a brief moment, I had wanted God, let's see, say here. Oh, the real significance of the experience in the cathedral burst upon me. And just like the previous share, I looked back and I saw what that was on page one in the big book. And he was much moved. Yeah, just two words, just only two words. But those two words say so much. I think that was a tremendous spiritual experience that he had there. And he hadn't, what's neat about it, I mean, he hadn't been anything about he'd been seeking God or looking for God or anything like that, or didn't have anything to do with God. He just went over there and he was wandering around, I guess, out in the Winchester Cathedral, and or inside the cathedral maybe, and he was much moved. He had this tremendous spiritual experience that he remembered for that 10 years or whatever, and then Nevi's talking to him, and he remembers that, you know, and it burst upon him, and he was much moved. But just like the previous sharer said, and I see written here, is it was blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since, how blind I had been. And in myself, exactly same thing. I'm sure I was much moved many times before program and before I had any spiritual experiences at all. How many times had I been much moved? And it was totally blocked out by clamors of the world and all the things going on in the world, this happening, that happening, and all of this. So, yeah, I'll tell you, I have missed it so many times. But since I've been in program and stuff like that, I have had quite a few spiritual experiences where I was much moved. And I remember a lot of them, and they were really good. But boy, I can let things blot them out. Like I'm having a situation now where I'm having all this resentment and anger towards somebody. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, it's just so much. And so I'll be doing some, I'm calling my sponsor today. I'll be doing some sharing on that, 10 steps on that, because I need to get rid of that right away. Because otherwise, these spiritual experiences will be blotted out by all the clamors and all the stuff going on in the world. Thank you, and I pass.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bruce. Up next is Wendy B., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, I mean, I just can relate so well to this paragraph, too. You know, for a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God, and there had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors. And that's the challenge I face every day, you know, to experience, you know, that need and want for God's presence, you know, to not let other things, you know, take its place and crowd it out. You know, and, you know, I have experienced, you know, drawing near to God and him disclosing himself to me. And when the clamoring for instant gratification and for satisfactions, you know, of my physical senses are silenced, you know, then I can sense and hear God. And, you know, I know it's God who gives me the willingness and the ability and the strength, you know, to do his will, not mine. You know, so I need to constantly humble myself before him and surrender, you know, to set aside everything else, you know, all the things I want to accomplish and just wait in his presence. You know, he acts on behalf of those who wait on him. So I have to intentionally not move ahead of him, you know, not act hastily. You know, I have to practice pausing, you know, so I don't respond too quickly in situations. You know, I need to take time to, you know, consider how God would want me to respond, you know, what part he wants me to play, you know, and it may be, you know, a support role, you know, instead of taking the lead, you know, and if I'm pushy and dominating, you know, then I might be interfering with what God is trying to accomplish in the situation. And, you know, and then the other person might be so busy resisting my, you know, dominating and strong will, you know, that they can't hear what God is doing or trying to teach them in the situation either. And this is just so, so good. And I just need to remind myself every day to be diligent in doing this. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Up next is Robin P., followed by Ginger M. And after Ginger M., I will get another lineup of names. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. I am Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I am in Costa Rica. And I'm so grateful. You know, if someone is typing or something, if you could just press star one, that'd be awesome. You know, I came into the program a devout atheist. I was raised that way. And, you know, it's just been such a miracle. This has been such my bridge to God. And I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety because of this program, because I was honest, open, and willing. And I'm so grateful for that. And I still, life can get in the way, you know, every day. I've had so many miracles, so many angels, so many blessings. And yet sometimes I still feel that false evidence appearing real, that fear, oh, how are we going to get through? We leave in 6 days for a two-month trip around Europe, around Southern Europe. And we've been planning. And just if you guys can check your mute, Sasha, that'd be awesome. Which we've been planning. And I've traveled around Europe before. We're doing 15 cities this time. And you know, every time I go, I just take care of my abstinence with God's grace and mercy. And but still, you know, we've got some last minute details. How will we get this done? And, you know, it's really, I mean, I would just think that God is up there laughing like, you're kidding, really? You've had so many miracles. You've had so many blessings. You're worried about this little detail. You know, it's just, you know, it's a faith walk every day. And I get to focus my heart and my will and my turn my will and my life over to the care of God and pray only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And when I live in the steps, it makes it so much easier. And I'm so grateful. I do a gratitude list and I send a 10 and 11 to my sponsor every night. And it's such a blessing. I include a gratitude list in there and it's such a blessing. I have miracles every day and I am a miracle. You know, I haven't binged or purged or done anything outside of my food plan for over eight years, and I was a very low bottom bulimic. So I'm literally a walking miracle. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass. Thanks again, Mo.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Yeah, sounds like a great trip. All right, before I take Ginger M., I want to let everybody know we're in Bill's story on page 12, the sixth paragraph down. The real significance of my experience, and it ends with how blind I had been. And after Ginger M., I will take another line up of those who'd like to share. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service, everyone. This is the first time I'm sharing on this meeting. I just was so grateful that I heard this morning's reading because the connection between humility and willingness is such a foundation for any 12-step work. And it's the way to make room inside myself for God. God can only be part of my life if I make space for him in my life and inside myself. And I have had psychic experiences before. They're wonderful. I just started with OA. Well, sort of a month or two ago, something like that. It's been a slow start. And I have a wonderful, amazing sponsor that's tailor-made to my needs in a sponsor. Excuse me. I'm having a lot of trouble now with my willingness. And so I'm hearing that that's because I need to work on humility. And the way for me, the key always, to get back to humility is through gratitude. So I'm going to write some things after the meeting that I'm grateful for. I do say them, but I'm going to write them today. And I really need God's presence in my life now. And again, that's dependent on me, on my being willing. And in order for me to be willing, I have to be humble. I have to have humility. To help me know God's will for me, that if this is the program for me, then I need to overcome my will with God's will. And I ask for help, for guidance from my higher power to be able to do that. And this is a wonderful group of people. I need to start taking advantage of making outreach calls. I'm a little fearful of doing it. I don't know why, but I'm sure that will move away some of the clouds that I have in my understanding and application of a food plan. I don't know how much more time I have, but
your time is up.
I'm grateful to this that I got to share. Thank you so much.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Ginger M, and welcome. Welcome, welcome. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Hi, this is Laja. I'm from Chicago.
Who was that?
Laja M from Chicago. S-L-I-J-A.
Spell it again. I'm sorry, it's going too fast.
S-L-A-D is a David, J-A.
Okay. Flavja. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. What's your last initial? All right, who else?
Erin M. Teresa from New Jersey.
I have Erin. Was that Erin M.? From New Jersey. Okay. Who else?
Teresa C., New Jersey.
Teresa C. Who else? Whoa. That's a lot of wind. Whoa. Whoever's out in the wind, please mute your phone. Please. All right. So I have Flavja. I didn't get the last initial. Erin M. Teresa C. Anybody else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Thank you, Jordan.
Janice K.
Janice K. All right. Let's stop there. All right. Everybody, please mute for Flavja. And I didn't get your last initial and where you're from.
Hi, this is Laja. I'm from Chicago, relatively new to OA. In the meantime, for the past, let's say, 2 months, I was able to get a wonderful sponsor, and I started actually with some other programs, and some other programs I got connected to this program, and that from one meeting when I met my sponsor, I figured out that overeating could be even chewing gums and sugar-free candies, which I kind of beamed myself up, and I think I'm really grateful for that. And I didn't even realize that's on my way to recovery. So I eliminated that, and I don't really have trouble stop eating any other different food, but due to my medical condition, I was placed on anti-estrogen medication that I'm completely powerless over with multiple side effects, and one of them is resistant weight gain that I have no clue how to figure out defending in terms of the weight constant weight gain. So I did get a dietitian, hopefully that's going to help, but I don't know, stopping the medicine would not be the best idea for me either, so I'll be praying to my higher power to give me a clear sign which way to go. Thank you so much for listening, I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Flavja. Slavja. Hope I'm getting it right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your share. Up next is Aaron M., followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, everybody. What a wonderful meeting and great reading. This little snippet from Phil's story about the true nature of that experience in the Winchester Cathedral, you know, coming upon him. It's like, to me, that is how I've had brief, you know, overwhelming God consciousness, like a presence of God that is, you know, unshakable. It's not something I bring on, it's something I enter. And I'm certain that I still don't have full understanding of what's going on when that's happening. It's very rare for me. And the truth is, I'm still, as an addict, oriented toward selfishness. But I have experienced in these rooms, the more I focus on either the weight or the food, it increases. I have no power over food. That's really the fundamental nature of my illness. The more I try to restrict, it seems like a whack-a-mole that pops out somewhere else. By the grace of God, truly, not a, just a platitude, I haven't had any recreational sugar since January of 2022, which I was, you know, back and head first into cheap baked goods. So it's a miracle. And I've lost about 45 pounds of 60 pounds that I gained in relapse over a period of time on the hinterlands of OA. But I'm still, you know, wrestling with 15 pounds, and they're real. It is not my imagination. Yet the answer is exactly what's in this paragraph, God consciousness. The answer is more step work and to build that strong relationship with God. But my nature is to try to focus on, you know, the scale and trying to limit, you know, whatever I'm trying to do. None of it's working. And I'm very, very hesitant and resistant to doing things that I hear lots of people have a lot of success with, like learning and majoring, which I don't want to do, which apparently is probably necessary. So, I mean, it's lack of surrender is really the diagnosis. I'm at a crossroads of surrender yet again. And, you know, the true significance of this is that, yes, the answer is always God. There's nothing that isn't God. This program is entirely spiritual. We work it on a material plane, but the answer is not in a food plan, although I believe in food plans. I'm not against them. It's just I can't follow them on my own. So I appreciate this opportunity to share. Thank you.
And thank you, Aaron M. from New Jersey. Up next is Teresa C., also from New Jersey. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for your service, being on the line and taking care of this meeting. And Teresa, the compulsive overeater in New Jersey. In listening to the paragraph today, what stuck out for me was a balance. I tend to want to go one way or the other. When I hear worldly clamors, I'm like, okay, forget the world. You know, just concentrate on my spiritual growth. And although that's important, there's still things I need to do to live in this world, everyday practical things. And when I pray to my higher power for guidance, he certainly directs me to take care of some of these things that I have to do here. That was really the one thing that stuck out to me, that I need to have a balance. I can't forget about my higher power. That's really where my mind wants to go. My mind is so much more comfortable. And this is, you know, my mind and how it's worked, how I was brought up. Because although religion was part of my growing up, spirituality really wasn't. I mean, you know, and my family kind of, although I think my grandmother like prayed all the time, we were just kind of, I prayed in times of need, you know, like I need your help. Of course, now I need his help every day. So that comes into play. I guess I'll pass because I'm just kind of at an end here, but I do feel that it's important for me to maintain that balance between the things I need to take care of in this world and increasing that spirituality and that relationship with my higher power, because that's what helps me manage the things that I need to do in this world. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Jordan L. from Colorado, you're up next. Good morning, Jordan. Unmute. Jordan, I can't hear you. Please press star one. Jordan, star one. If not, we'll go on to Janice K. Are you there, Janice?
I'm here now. Is Jordan available?
Oh, okay. Not yet. So why don't you go and then I'll try her again. Thank you, Janice, in lieu of time.
Absolutely. Of course. the paragraph starts with the experience in the cathedral. And basically what I wanted to say is that without the steps, the experience of God is only a lovely memory. It's something we want to be true. We'd like to go back to it from time to time, but just the experience itself is not enough to overcome the worldly clamor. And that can be just about anything. I think the great advantage Bill learned from program and that I found in program, and that is in program for anyone else, is the practical ability using the steps to find a power greater than ourselves. And if we work at it, to stay there. Which is not does not say that it's easy, just that it's simple. Do the steps, do the work, say the prayers, and the result happens. It starts with an action. The action turns into attitude. The attitudes become a way of living. It's the way of living that, pardon the expression, saves me. I knew how to live as an addict. I had a lifelong specialized training in how to be an addict, especially in my young years. What I have learned in my elder years is how to be healthy and how to try to live in union with the power greater than myself. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Jordan, are you there? Jordan L. If not, oh, there you are. Jordan?
Hey, Mo, can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, awesome. I'm on my commute, so if something happens, I don't have the greatest service, so if something happens, I'll just move on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me share. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I've been to Winchester Cathedral a couple of times, and it's a beautiful building, but it's kind of small and kind of humble, and it's in this tiny little town in the English countryside, and there's a lot of other cathedrals in the UK and England that are a lot more impressive, and this one's pretty humble and old. It's kind of actually, it's sinking. The the person there, the attendant there, explained all this to us, but kind of humble in itself, as far as cathedrals go, you know? And I guess what comes to mind for me when I read about this experience is I had some pretty, like, moving experiences with a higher power early on in my recovery. I think I needed that at the time. I think that that was probably the only thing that was going to get my attention. I was so numb when I came in here to my feelings and the harm that I was causing to those around me, all of that, that it really took a lot to get my attention. But as I've stayed abstinent and continued to work the steps and continued to, like, be in recovery, continued to develop emotionally and spiritually, it really doesn't take a lot for me to connect with God these days besides, like, a pause, like a moment of stillness and that sort of, like, humble willingness. Like the paragraph is talking about, to have that presence with me. But I will say the worldly clamors are loud these days. Jobs and making money and paying mortgages and losing jobs because of a pandemic and all kinds of craziness, man. Like, worldly clamors have never been louder in my life personally, and the world that we're living in too, I think, on more of like a global scale. So it continues to be important to practice this program one day at a time, humbly asking for guidance from a higher power, and reaching out to my fellows in recovery. So thanks for letting me share. I'm grateful to be here. That's it.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Jordan L., and we heard you loud and clear. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we are on page 12 of Bill's story, the sixth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, the real significance. And it ends at the top of page 13, how blind I had been. And we have time for about two more shares, two to possibly three, depending on the length of the share. Who would like to share? Press star one to unmute.
Jeff A., but I'm walking, so it might not work.
Jeff A., I got you, Jeff. Who else? No one wants to share? Mom, this is your opportunity.
Dory P.
Dory P., okay. Let's go with those two. We'll see if we have time for another quickie. All right, Jeff A. first, and then Dory P. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff A. In California. So this is my experience only. I decided to... there's a radio program that I listened to for some years, and he said to get out of debt completely. And I think God was telling me to do that, too. That was 10, 11, 12, 13 years ago. And I got rid of all my debts and then did the program that he wanted. However, I ended up losing my job five and a half years ago. And I thought, well, I'll just find another job. But part of the problem is I've had chronic pain for many years, and I was scared. And I would, everything was much harder. I only worked with people supposedly that liked disabilities, and none of them were interested in talking with me. And then I had the stroke. Fortunately, though, because my higher power told me to do this years ago, I didn't have a mortgage. And it's harder, though, right? The things that I want are things that he did not want me to have. And that's, I was going to get a car because finally I had some inheritance money a year and a half ago. And I got everything figured out. I went to the dealership several times. And that last time when the car was coming over from Korea, he gave me a very strong impression that you shouldn't have this car. And I was shocked. But it wouldn't stop. And so I thought, am I going to do it my way or God's way? And I decided I'd do it God's way. But I was really angry and frustrated for several months because I already had a car. I wanted another car because it was going to be a fun car, not a lame car. I mean, the other car is a good car, but it was not a fun car. And now I understand more why God wanted this to be different. And I understand, and sometimes I still have this desire to have that car again, but I know why he needed that. But it had to be the trial of my faith. Yeah, let me say, the trial of my faith was the thing. Then he would tell me why. So, anyways, that's my experience. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jeff A. And up next will be Dory P. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, Mo. Dory P. in Georgia. We're grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you for everyone's service on Team Tuesday and all the wonderful shares. And what stuck in my head was the clamors that are inside me, because this is something that occupies my mind all the time, the clamors inside me. And for a long time, I thought, I can either just have peace in my head and then I can be abstinent and everything is so easy because that's the way God would want it. And that's really when I can connect with my higher power because I can hear the message and I can be peaceful. But the reality is that 90% of the time, my mind is on. And I hope nobody can identify with this because that would burst my uniqueness bubble. But I wake up and I try to say the third step prayer and already 10 things, you know, interject. Like I say one line and my mind just goes. And I heard one time somebody say that intrusive thinking or something like that. And I was like, what's new? That's how my head is all the time. There's something always going on in my head and I can never get peace. So I thought, well, if this is 90% of the time, then of course, you know, that my abstinence, you know, lasts a couple months. And then you know, the clamor overtakes. And then this morning, you know, I was working out and my lovely spin coach said, you know, like, life will always happen, but what you do in this 45 minutes, you know, you can. And it's just sometimes, and somehow it just clicked. I'm like, yeah, my head will always be clamorous. There will always be noise. It doesn't mean I have to wait for the peace and the quiet, that I can do it despite all the clamors, that's the promise, that's how God works. It's not just when it's peace, and I can't just like wait for that 10% of peace. It's through the clamor mm-hmm. I can do it. So that's a reassuring thought, and I wish mm-hmm. you guys that too. Thanks very much for letting me share.
Yeah, very much. Thank you, Dory P., for closing us out. And the clamors, the loud, noisy voices in our head. Yeah. All right. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Shelley E. please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm sorry for the background noise. I'm waiting for my husband to the hospital. I'm Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.